rejoice. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention to Psalms 147. Psalms 147 and 3 says, He healeth, who? The broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. So there are certain people that God just gravitates to in order to heal their sorrow, their broken heart, their wounds. And then Psalms 34 says, in verse number 18, it says, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So God gets close to those who have this brokenness. And when you're in a service like we're in this morning and we feel that presence of God, there's a brokenness within us that God is just so attracted to. I can't do anything except with you, God. And that's what God is looking for. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning, that you touch it, anoint it, bless it as only you can. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, but would you turn to Psalms 51? And this is a very well-known psalm. It's a record of David's repentance. In verse 1, it says, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions or my wrongdoings. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. In other words, I can't forget who I am and what I've done. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. You'll notice that when God restores the joy and the freedom that the Spirit comes, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. So, you know what? God opens our mouth. We can't even do that on our own. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So the sacrifices that God wants us to bring is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. It's an attitude. We all are familiar with David's great repentance, and here is a man that knew God on an intimate level that perhaps most people have never known. And then because of a lust of the flesh, he's stopped communicating with God. He didn't talk to God. He didn't worship God. It was probably a year before he ever came to this conclusion that he needed to change some things in his life. Until one day, about a year later, the prophet Nathan came to him with a story how this poor man had only one ewe lamb, and it was like a pet. It ate at its table. It laid down with him at night. And then there was a rich man that was next to him, had a visitor come, and instead of taking up his many flocks, he took this poor man's little lamb and slaughtered it in order to make a meal. And David was so enraged. This man! And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." And it was at that point that David became broken. It was at that point where he said, like Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, "Woe is me, I am undone. I didn't realize where I had strayed, how far I've gotten from God. Thou art the man." I wonder, did David think that he was all right because of past encounters with God? Could we get to the place where we think we're all right because, well, I got the Holy Ghost years ago, or I remember feeling the presence of God so strong? Could we think that we're all right even though we haven't had any kind of relationship with him lately? Did David just put God out of his thoughts and on a shelf for another time? Is it that people, especially today, don't see their need for God in this world? There are so many things going on. Everything is going fine in their little kingdom. People are self-sufficient, or they can rely on a social program in order to take care of their needs. They're not desperate for God like perhaps they were in Bible days. God has created a void in each and every one of us that cannot be filled with anything else except the presence of God. And people are miserable because they don't even know how to get to God. And God knows how to get the attention of people who aren't looking for God. He has a way of putting things within our life to cause us to have a broken heart. Thou art the man. Thou art the woman that God has been looking for. We first have to recognize our need for a Savior before we could ever get saved. The problem is there are so many people in this world that have no idea that they need somebody in order to take care of or fix the situation that they're in. I was there, and probably most of you were there. I'm doing fine. Everything's going well. Why do I need God in my life, you see? Oh, it's another experience, and people come in, and they have an experience with God, and they add it to all of the rest of the experiences that they've had in life, and then they just leave God alone. I have a friend by the name of Mark. I won't give you his last name. He is a great guy. He's faithful to a denominational church. He is a retired CPA. He owns probably the largest accounting firm in Kenosha. He was the one who developed a program for doctors, and as a result, every doctor we've seen in Kenosha just flooded to his accounting firm. He will never have a worry about finances. He could buy whatever he wants. He will never spend all of the money that he has. And we've developed a relationship over the years, mainly because of his love for golf, and I haven't done that for a few years. But a couple of years ago, I was golfing with him, and he was pulling this golf cart. You know, he could afford to have a motorized golf cart he wanted, but he's pulling his golf cart, and I looked at it, and he had it wired up on one side, and one of the wheels looked like it was just about ready to fall off. And I said, "Mark, why don't you just go buy yourself a new one? In fact, you can get the kind that have the batteries on it, and it'll just follow you around." Some of you may have seen it. His response was, "You know what? I'm just so used to this one, and it works just fine." Okay. There's a common saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Especially if it still is functioning, leave it alone. Leave me alone. I'm doing fine. That's fine for you because you got some issues. And God can fix your issues, but I'm doing just fine. Many people live their lives that way. My life is functioning just fine. I don't need any kind of fixing. Religion is for those who have major problems. They can't fix on their own, and so they're looking for an invisible being that can take care of their situation. And whether it's really true or not, whether he really is in existence or not, I'm not sure, but I'm okay. What most don't realize is if it ain't broke, God won't fix it. If you don't realize that you got some brokenness within your life, how in the world is God going to enlist in helping you? In other words, until you admit you've got a problem, God won't help you. It's like all of the self-help groups, and you know, my name is, and I have a problem, you see. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock. Amen. People aren't asking. People aren't seeking. They're not knocking. In fact, they don't even know what to ask for today, you know? I heard something, I guess the lottery is up to $900 million, some lotto deal, and so they interviewed these people who were putting their $2 down, and what, you know, this guy is going to get a house in Florida and Hawaii and Arizona, and he's going to buy this Cadillac and, you know, all of these fantasies that, man, if I had, you'd be so far from God, you know what? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. That would probably be the worst thing that could happen to any. There's a little island in the South Pacific that's called Nauru. And what happened is they discovered a phosphorus substance on that island that was just so incredible that all these little natives who had this simple, poor life, and they fished for the food, had pineapples and coconuts, you know, and they were healthy. Well, now, I think the 1,000 people that lived there were rich. So now they had all of this exotic food imported into their country. And they have now diabetes that they can't cure. They've been fighting among themselves. The mayor of the city ordered a Ferrari, and yet they only had a mile of paved roads. And by the time the Ferrari came, he was too big in order to get into the Ferrari. Oh God, help us. Millions are unaware of what their needs are. Over the last few years, car manufacturers have had millions of recalls costing millions and millions of dollars. Airbags that exploded, you know, and injured people with fragments of metal in their face, and some have actually died. Faulty ignitions that would turn the car off in the middle of their driving and lock up the steering so they couldn't steer, and people have died as a result. Gas pedals that were sticking, and the list goes on and on. In some cases, the manufacturer knew all about the defects, but they didn't do anything about the defects, and now they're being sued by the government. Yet, there were people who had no idea that there was a problem in their brand new car or the car that they've been driving for years, and as a result, lives were lost. They knew it was broke, and they did nothing in order to fix the problem. Church, it could be likened to us knowing that there are defects in people all around us, but not letting them know that there will be a serious consequence down the road if they don't take care of the defects that are in their life. It's kind of like the recall notice, and I don't know if you got your recall notice. Did you get your recall notice? The maker of all human beings is recalling all units manufactured, regardless of make or year, due to a serious defect in the primary central component of the heart. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype unit, codename Adam and Eve. This resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units that are produced throughout the entire world. This defect has been technically termed subsequential internal non-morality, or more commonly known as SIN. As it has the primary symptoms of loss of moral judgment, some other symptoms are loss of direction, foul vocal emissions, amnesia of origin, lack of peace and joy, selfish or violent behavior, depression and confusion of the mental component. The manufacturer, who is neither liable nor at fault for these defects, is providing factory authorized repair and service free of charge to correct the sin defect. I got my notice. I don't know about you. The number to call for recall station in your area is PRAYER. Once connected, upload your subsequential internal non-morality abbreviation for SIN by pressing repentance. Next, download Jesus to fix the internal defect. You will hear a language that you've never learned. Please see the operation manual for more information on details of use of this fix. Warning, continuing to operate the human unit without correcting these defects voids the manufacturer's warranty, exposing owner to dangers and risks, resulting in the human unit being permanently impounded. No defects will be entering the manufacturer's headquarters. Each of us have defects. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is nothing that we can do in order to fix ourselves. We need a recall program. We need a Savior that is going to step in and say, I found some defects within you, and I have provided a way in order for you to get fixed. It's coming to God to fix that which we know we could never repair. You can't get good enough in order to get God. And when David realized he wasn't right, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Would you turn to Ezekiel 36, please? Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. Here's part of the recall. A new heart also will I give you. We're going to take that old engine out. It's been missing, backfiring. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. If you will just go to God for the recall, for the replacement. Every day, God is sending out recall notices to people. And many times, God has used us as the process server. Come back to the manufacturer and he'll fix your defects. This is not just a once and done situation. It's not, well, I got the Holy Ghost, I repented. I remember that when I repented, and it was good. But I'll tell you what, there are subsequent recalls, there are subsequent problems within life just because we are living on this planet. When was the last time that you checked your oil? I know of some people who their cars have been completely ruined because they just didn't take a simple test to see whether or not they had enough oil in order to lubricate the engine. When's the last time Christians have checked their oil? Am I full? And when have you checked to see if there's enough spark to get started? Have you filled up before the trip? Are you getting all you can at the altar? Have you gotten all of what God has for you? These are all our own responsibilities. This is not God's responsibility. It's saying, it's up to you to do it. It's up to you to get to church. It's up to you to read my word. It's up to you to open up the presence that I have for you. God can fix anything except those things that we just don't bring to him. And the problem is we have not because we ask not. We haven't done our part, and so God is not obligated to do his part. He's the manufacturer. He's put us on this earth. He has a contingency for everything. He stopped, and he was beaten so somebody could get healed. He hung on the cross so we could be filled with the Holy Ghost and completely absolved from our sin, but we first. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, please. Verse number 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of God changes, searches the defects within our human nature and changes it every time we come into the presence of God. I've said this over the years. I wonder how many times somebody comes in here, lifts their hands, starts worshiping God, and there could be a cancer within their body and God instantly heals it. Or there's going to be a situation down the road next week. Somebody's going to go through a stop sign. Some drunk is going to come straight at you. But as you're raising your hands and you're worshiping God, you're going from glory to glory or praise to praise, God's saying, took care of that situation for you. We'll never know. Maybe one day God will show us the list of all of those things. Romans chapter 8, probably the most misquoted scripture in the entire Bible. Romans 8 and 28. It says, and we know, do you? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate or limit our freedom to be conformed to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, God already sees what's going to happen down the road and he didn't predestine and saying, you're saved, you're lost. No, he's saying, I'm going to limit. See, the people who interpreted this, they had no idea of what we have access to. But God's saying, well, I'm sorry. You're not going to get your way today, honey. I'm sorry. I'm not going to answer that prayer the way you want it because I want you to conform to the image of God. And it is for my purpose. It's not for your purpose. It's not for your happiness. I don't know, you as parents always give your kids whatever they want because we want them to be happy, 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 happy. No, they'll be spoiled, 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 spoiled. So sometimes we limit what we can give our kids because we know what they're going to be down the road. Because of sin, we humans are fundamentally broken. But in Psalms 34 and 18, David said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You see, if we aren't broken in spirit, as David was broken in spirit, well then, God just can't fix what is wrong with our life. And so what we have to do is come to the conclusion, you know what, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. I mean, there's times, folks, that we all feel, you know what, I just don't feel right. You know, I've got this thing in my side. You know what, there's this pounding in my ear. This eye, you know, it's just not working. And so what do? Oh, well, it's just the way it's going to be. No, most of us, the responsible ones, except for the men in here, we will go to the doctor, you know, and find it checked out. So could it be when you get to the place where you just say, you know what, there must be something wrong, God. I need an examination. If you could just check this out for me, you know, and there are then times when every one of us has said, God, I don't know what the situation is, but if you could take care of it first, I'd rather go to you than to a doctor. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with going to the doctors, but first go to the great physician. Amen. Would you go to Psalms 31, please? Psalms chapter 31 and verse number 12. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. This is what David's saying. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Many my times are in thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemy and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. He talks about brokenness. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. The best thing that he had going for him is saying, I can't do anything. I'm broken. Some of you are saying, now, why isn't this happening? And why isn't this happening? And I just don't. You know, here's the deal, folks. Don't take care of it yourself. Well, I've got a plan figured out, and this is what I'm going to do. You know what you need to do is get broken before God. If it's a financial situation, God can take care of that. If it's a health situation, God can take care of that. If it's an attack on you or your person or persecuted or a family situation or you've been abandoned, God can take care of that. But we have to get to the place where I'm broken enough in order to hand it over to God instead of, well, God, I can take care of this one. The law of Moses contained many illustrations concerning brokenness. Any earthen vessel that was contaminated by an animal or a dead person or leprosy, well, it was by law. It had to be broken. When leprosy had broken through the skin, that person was separated from everybody else. The altars of Baal and other false gods had to be completely broken down before you could first build an altar for God. You see, there is always a prerequisite of what God can do, but he always has to see some kind of brokenness. That's why God hates pride so much. He hates somebody who wants the spotlight on them. Folks, I'll tell you, and God is my witness, I don't even want to stand behind a pulpit. I don't want anybody to give me any kind of attention at all. if I could just do this thing anonymously, that's exactly what it was. A Moses who said, send somebody else. I don't want. The implication throughout is clear. Humanity is broken by sin, and there is only one who can fix the defect. His name is Jesus. Oh, there are self-help groups for encouragement. There's 12-step programs and 10-step programs and 150-step programs, and then there are all kinds. There are more books on self-help, even in Pentecost, than probably any other subject on the face of the earth. You know why? Because we want to help ourselves without enlisting God into our problem. We will not be broken enough in order to say, God, I can't do this on my own. But no one can completely fix the defects of human nature like God. It is what Calvary is all about. The poor things, the poor race, they can't help themselves. So there has to be someone who can reach down and help them in their most miserable condition. Hallelujah. You know, we are likened unto sheep. And of all of the animals, I was raised on a farm, all of the animals that are around, there is one animal that cannot clean itself, and that's a sheep. There is one animal that if it falls over, it just lays there because it can't even get up by itself. And we cannot clean ourselves. We cannot recover from a fall. We just lay there until God has enough mercy to pick us up again and clean us up and restore us. Hallelujah. People around us just don't see the defect like God sees them. Oh, you're all right. And what do you need to do that for? I mean, how many times have your relatives and friends said, really, why? I don't see any problem with that. They don't see the defects, but they're not the manufacturer. They're not the one who's put us together, you see. He knows the design and he knows the frailties of all human design, yet he had to create us with an inherent weakness within us so that we could make a free choice and decide, God, I'm broken, but you can fix me. And that's what he's looking for. Therefore, we should live our lives for an audience of one. If you're living and doing for anyone else other than God, you'll be persuaded to do things that you shouldn't do. Well, they want it. And as a pastor, I could get to the place where I preach messages that'll make people comfortable, but you know what? It won't make God comfortable. I have to live my life as if the only one who is listening and watching my life is Jesus Christ himself. I don't see Jesus more impressed with anybody in the entire Bible, than the woman with the alabaster box full of precious ointment as she broke the box and poured it over Jesus. He said, this is going to be a testimony forever. From generation to generation, she was broken at the feet of Jesus like the alabaster box that she brought. God is drawn to a brokenness, somebody who will pour it all out, somebody who walks in on a Sunday morning and says, God, I don't know how much I have to offer, but I'm going to get to the altar. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to pour out all that I have to you. Amen. The opposite of this is someone who comes in and goes from person to person, letting them know all of their problems and all of the situations and how unfairly they were treated. And you know what? It helps nothing. Except all it does is create more problems for a whole lot of people and contaminates them with your problem and perhaps even separates you from them. Psalms 47:3 said, he healeth or fixes the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Nothing causes God to run to you more than when he sees that you're broken. 1 Peter 5 and 5 says, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Looking for a promotion? Get humble enough and God will promote you. Me? No. How could you use me, God? That's exactly who God is looking for. Now, Jesus met two proud people in the city of Jericho. An up-and-comer who was a short tax collector named Zacchaeus. He had to humble himself and climb a tree in order to see Jesus. He was so short that there were so many people, and he probably had a fixation because he was short, and yet he had all of this prosperity, all of the, you know, the notoriety and the money that somebody in his position would have. But in order to really see Jesus, he had to shimmy up a tree with his brand new robe. Zell and Edmund shoes. And in spite of his outward success, he finally realized his inner brokenness. I need Jesus. God planted the sycamore tree. God did. It was his opportunity. But Zacchaeus had to climb the tree. He wasn't going to do that for him. How many have walked through our church doors and said to themselves, that's kind of neat, but you know what? I don't need this. I've got a lot going for myself. And they walked out again. Some of you were there, but you humbled yourself and you climbed the tree of Calvary. You got to the place where you said, God, examine me. If I need more, if I really need to respond the way all of these other fanatics are responding, well, then I want to do that because I want to be right in your sight. The second person Jesus met in Jericho was not an up-and-comer. He was a down-and-outer, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. Even the poor have pride to overcome. You know, it's like the guy who gets a brand new car and he parks it right next to the door at church. That's pride. But what about the man or woman who has this old wreck of a car and because of pride hides it in the back parking lot? Is there really a difference between the two? No, it's the same pride. Bartimaeus had to humble himself and cry out, even though there were a bunch of his friends who said, "Bartimaeus, come on now. Let's not get overboard. You know, quiet down. Here comes Jesus. We want to hear what he has to say." But he knew he was blind. He knew he was broken. He knew that he couldn't do anything for himself. He needed a savior. He needed a healer. See, he realized how broken he was, and only Jesus could fix his defect. Both the rich and the poor, the blind and the seeing, found Jesus because they realized, I got a defect. Anybody have a defect here this morning? Anybody ever have some thoughts that weren't right? Failures? Some of you have already broken your New Year's resolution already. You know, you come in and you're hanging your head because you were supposed to get up and pray every morning and read at least a chapter, and now you haven't done it, and you're saying, okay, God has just checked me off the list. That's it. He's never going to. The good news is, are you ready? That no matter how you got broken, sickness, abandoned, divorced, job loss, lost loved one, no matter how you got broken, God is willing to fix you if you're willing to cry out to him this morning. Like blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's waiting for somebody to cry. Jesus. You know, he would have walked right by blind Bartimaeus. He would have walked by, but Bartimaeus had nothing except his hope in Jesus. Amen. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what your employer said. I don't care what the people who love you the most have said or hurt you in any way. We need to cry out. We need to simply say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus said in Luke 4 and 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Did you get your recall notice? Whatever it takes, whatever's wrong, whatever your problem is, I don't care how far you've gone, I don't care how low you are, God said, I'll fix it if you're broken enough. I'll tell you, folks, there's something about being broken, and sometimes, you know, we just want everything going fine in our life, and God's saying, no, I can't allow that to happen because I want to fix some things in you that you don't even know need to be fixed. Because you could be driving down the highway of life and all of a sudden there's an explosion and the airbag lets. Your ignition will go out, or perhaps the steering will go out, or maybe there's something that'll happen within your life that could jeopardize your eternal life. And I got to take care of that before it happens. Amen. He's the fixer. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Sometimes we criticize churches because of their tradition. Stand up, sit down, repeat after me. Of course, Jesus said in Matthew 6 that we should not use vain repetition as the heathens do. And then he gave us a formula for prayer. But you know, we can have our own traditions, and there could be people who could be clapping their hands and be lost this morning. And there could be people who could come to this altar this morning without any kind of examination of where they're at and how are they doing. January is a good month in order to reevaluate where we are with God. And frankly, church, I don't want as a pastor to just simply say the altar's open and have people, you know, like zombies walk up to the altar and have no change in their life. This morning, church, this morning, when we open this altar this morning, could you come and perhaps be broken before God and say, God, if there's a defect, if there's an inherent problem within my spirit or within my body, God, could you take care of it? Could you address it? I know you took a beating for me. You died on Calvary for me, that somehow you could take care of this problem. I know you've recalled me from the millions and billions of people on the face of the earth, and you sent the notice to me that this morning I could have something fixed. Would you come?